This is the EMDocs.net podcast with Britt Long and Manny Singh. We bring you high-yield content about what you're seeing every day in the ED. Hey, everyone. Today, we have Rob Orman talking on metrics that actually matter. If you enjoy what you're hearing from Rob, he and several other amazing clinicians and educators are putting on a conference May 1st through 3rd in Bend, Oregon, called Awaken Aware. We'll have a link in the show notes to the conference. Without further ado, here's Rob.
Hello, EMDocs.net crew. Rob Orman here from Orman Physician Coaching and the Stimulus Podcast with a question. What is it about performance metrics, patient satisfaction scores, quality measures that tends to induce a collective groan amongst clinicians? Might not even be a groan. It might even, you know, induce urticaria. Who's to say? Well, one reason for the negative reaction is that when you're asked to perform to metrics, you're being judged by someone else's measure of success. Now, while metrics seem to be calcified or this immovable aspect of medical practice, recent history is replete with heavy-handed quality measures ultimately being found useless, potentially harmful, or discordant with the complexity of providing care. Few examples: pain management, patient satisfaction, targeted infection reporting, time to antibiotics for pneumonia. The test of time and jaundiced eye of retrospection have not been kind to these or many other metrics. And ironically, several of them are still in use. Not that metrics are all bad. I'm not saying that at all. Some might actually help, but there's still something imposed on you, unless, of course, your group creates its own. And I remember this so clearly. A C-suite executive came down to our group and said, "Hey, you guys need to start using more metrics." Okay. Which ones are important to you guys? Which ones are important to admin? What do we want to achieve with the metrics? What do we need to move forward? And they replied, "I don't know, but you should just have some." Now, it's not always so farcical, but it can feel that way. So I want to propose to you a metric that really matters. Picture this. If tomorrow, CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, came out with a new pay-per-performance metric that tied hospital reimbursement with clinician work satisfaction, what do you think would happen? I'll tell you what would happen. Every hospital would move heaven and earth to improve your satisfaction scores, make your job as awesome as it could possibly be. Now, maybe your group or your hospital has something to this effect. And if so, embrace, give it the tightest, squeeziest hug. If not, make your own. Make your own quality of shift metric. You probably have a sense of this, how shifts go. Shifts can range anywhere from great to good to neutral to bad to ugly to just avert your gaze. If most of your shifts are good or great, you likely feel positively about your job. If your shifts are mostly bad, ugly, you might feel more pessimistic. Quality of shift is a vital metric to track, but it is rarely measured. And you've been to journal club. It's hard to improve something unless you are actively measuring it. Here's one way to go about it. This is not the only way, far from it, but something I found effective with myself and working with docs on improving their on-shift experience. So in the big picture, if we take the 35,000-foot view, we're going to measure, record, trend, and then experiment with one thing. So let's talk about measuring. This is where you get to put your stamp on it. You get to rate each shift on your overall experience. The specifics how you rate each day and each shift aren't important. It's just got to work for you. It's got to be something that you like doing and can be consistently applied. So a 1 out of 10 scale, a 1 out of 5 scale. You can even use the Wong Baker happy face, frowny face scale. How you rate your shift is purely subjective. You, in fact, are the only one that can rate it. How much data to collect? A month's worth is a good place to start. So you've measured it in your mind, and then you want to record it. recorded in a spreadsheet or in Notion or the Notes app on your phone or paper, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you can easily access it and record the data at the end of shift. Because doing it in the moment is way better. It's just such higher fidelity of the information than doing even a day later or a week later. And with each quality of shift rating, note what contributed to that experience. Is there something major, positive or negative, that sticks out in your mind? For example, got a great shift. On the Wong Baker, got the smiliest of smiley faces. What's popping up in your mind that made it great? Maybe lots of thank yous, a great recess, all charts done at the end of the shift. I ate my lunch and I peed twice. And then the next day, not only a frowny face, but the frowny face with tears. You know that one on the Wong Baker. Well, let me take some notes. What happened in that shift that contributed to that? It was a fight with every consultant. It was super busy. I was always behind. The department was twice as full of boarding patients as usual. Just an example. I mean, yours might be different. And those just two random days that popped up. So we've got our measurement and recording of that rating or that measurement. And now we want to trend it. This is why you're collecting not just one shift, but multiple shifts, a month's worth of shifts. Once you've got the data, look for trends. Were there consistent elements that were associated with positively and negatively rated shifts? For me, this would have looked like, so positive shift trends, kept up with charts, took breaks, wasn't too busy. Negative shift trends, conflict, home late, overwhelmed. With the data comes the big questions for the positive. What's in your control to amplify? For the negatives, what's in your control to address? Sometimes with the negatives, it seems, oh, there's nothing that can be done. It's just how things are. Well, usually there is. For example, all my shifts that I rated as bad, as 1 out of 10s, were crazy busy. There is nothing I can do about that. I cannot control who's coming in the door. Yes and no. You certainly cannot control the influx, but you can control how you approach it, how you document your own internal triage, team communication, communicating with patients and consultants. So we see the trends, and then it's time to act. And act on one thing, because in any job, there's myriad issues to address. There might be 10 things, 100 things. Great, you got room to grow, but only tackle one step at a time. Because if you try to do too much or change your entire approach all at once, it can lead to an even worse experience. And I'm going to tell you about myself. And one thing that was a big negative for me was documentation. And that documentation led into other things because I was regularly staying hours after each shift. I'm talking 3 to 4 hours per shift. And I worked on it for a year. I got it down to 30 minutes. Sometimes no minutes out on time. I couldn't believe it. When I got out on time, I felt like I was cheating. And when I say make one change thing, oh, okay, so I'm going to change documentation, right? I've got a whole stack of charts at the end of my shift. I'm staying over hours and hours. I'm going to shift my documentation. Well, within that one idea, make one tiny little change. So I'm going to commit to documenting a history and physical after seeing each patient. So there's an initial goal within the entire spectrum of documentation. And then do that. What goes well? What could go better? And then how could I improve it? How do I iterate? How do my shifts go? Because the rating continues. The quality of shift needs to continue as you're doing this, as you're experimenting. And a really interesting thing pops up, if you do decide to do this, is even if it doesn't change a thing initially, because it is going to change things over time, but even if it doesn't change things initially, just focusing on something, having an intention in the shift rather than just punching the clock, more times than not, changes the valence of a shift, skews it towards the positive. But remember, all of the changes are iterations. They are experiments, and you are continuing to experiment for an entirety of a career. Now, if you're listening to this thinking, that's just too much. I'm not going to write this down. I'm not going to do that thing. That's totally fine. If this doesn't resonate with you, or this method doesn't resonate with you, pick something that does, but pick something. Because there's so much invested in this job. And it's not just the sunk costs of education or the time put into training, but it's your ongoing time, attention, and energy. We all know what happens in the emergency department impacts your life outside the emergency department. And it's worth it to put your own practice under the microscope. And my coaching mentor used to say that, and still says this, don't just work in your job, work on your job. That's it for now. Be well, my friends, and keep on rocking.